Hey, it's Justine Thomas. Another episode of Let's Talk. Joe, there's been so much going on in the news lately. And I'll tell you what, we were talking a little bit earlier off camera, and I was filling Joe in on some things here that he did not know, and I did not know as well until I actually dove into some of this stuff. But the latest is, of course, Fauci urging Americans now. Not only do they want us to wear masks, but he is now suggesting wearing goggles, like the goggles are going to help. But he's saying if somebody's talking to you and maybe they've a lot,
right?
That can get in your eyes.
I have a scuba mask that I can put cotton balls into the top part of it, and I will be set because it'll be mask and goggles all in one. Ridiculous. Nice and ridiculous.
Yeah, he's saying he's hoping that the mask will also help limit the spread of the flu in the fall. So not only are they saying that we're supposed to get a resurge of this coronavirus, but now we're supposed to have to worry about the influenza as well. So he says it's inevitable that we're going to have some degree of flu, but he's hoping that the wearing of the mask and other coverings, what other coverings besides the goggles, the mask, what else do you want us to do?
Hazmat suits.
Hazmat suit. Is that's what
that's where it's
next.
Coming, yeah.
And then you're going to have to carry around your little squirt bottle and try to disinfect yourself and the people around you as long as you're 6 feet away.
And
from
ozone
them.
Kills this kind of stuff too. So if you had a cloud of ozone that you can go around with, that would be amazing. We're getting ridiculous.
We are. But so is this.
Yes, for sure.
Truly.
Now,
this
do
is.
You think too, with all of these extra apparatus that we're going to be around us, do you think what people are attracted to is going to change? Like, you know, you can see people's eyes now, right? Mm-hmm. And so you might be attracted to their eyes where you're distracted by other features. And then, you know, like more face coverings mean different parts of the body will be the mechanisms of attracting male and female. So very interesting that what could happen.
It is. And we were talking earlier, you know, not only are you wearing the face mask and you can't tell if somebody's smiling at you, you can't really tell, except for maybe their brow, if they're mad, or you know how your eyebrows indent if you're showing an attitude, so to speak. But could you imagine being in a bar? Okay, just take this for instance, and a guy with swimming goggles comes up to you.
or a full scuba gear, if you will.
Hey, baby, let me buy you a drink, as long as it's not before 10. Or after 10.
Oh, well, if that happened to you specifically, would you take the advances of a man who was dressed in goggles and scuba gear?
Only if he had flippers.
Flippers.
If he was wearing flippers. No, I'd probably run into the bathroom and and just say, is he gone yet? Did he, you know.
Yeah. Little freaky, little awkward.
But
I get it.
But it's becoming that ridiculous. It truly is. I mean, we're going to find out come the fall if we're going to get a resurge, because as you had said last weekend, we went from what, 1,700 cases last week. Now we're down to 400. So has it really stopped, you know, in our area, or at least slowed down? And is it because you can't get a drink after 10 p.m.? I mean, it's really hitting our restaurants and businesses. I feel bad for them. I really do.
I felt bad for them the first time around, where now it's even harder because they're, you know, the first time around, at least they were normally operating, and then they went to that whatever. Now mm-hmm. they've been operating with no revenue, and now we change this up on again. Like, what are they leaning on? It's not like past revenues. So, I mean, they're weaker than they've ever been.
Now, you know, we were talking earlier, and I really don't know the answer to this because I haven't bartended in a while, okay? But if you're in a bar and you're bartending and say, you know, it's after 10 o'clock, granted, you're limiting the amount of people that are in your bar, okay? So you're only limiting maybe 30, 35. You have to do the 6 feet social distance type thing. But you're also limiting your staff as well. So this is cutting in on our people, you know, that's cutting in on their jobs. It's cutting in on their revenue. We're seeing more and more still people on unemployment. Now, do we have, and this will be something for the masses to tell me that have been out, okay, do we have to-go drinks that they're allowed? I know some restaurants, I do know that some do that around here, okay? If we have, because where I'm going with this is Oregon. They did a survey, okay, some Oregon movements, I guess we could put that, and they're saying that they were surveyed and 72% of adults surveyed said that they would go for a to-go cocktail with their dinner. So they're saying that the restaurant owners say that the change wouldn't solve all of their problems, but it would help them bring in more money. So they're saying, you know, is this type of thing a fix? He says, not necessarily. It's just an extra dollar, and that extra little percent can help move the needle, you know, more. So it could help to bring in some of their employees back. It could help to bring in some alcohol sales, maybe some food sales. So I don't know. I mean, do we offer that around here now, a lot of restaurants, or is it something?
Well, Morris Ray said that he went to a place and bought a bag-o-margarita where they put together big, more than you could ever drink in a bag, and he was okay. able to purchase it. So yeah, you never know. Some adults might set up a vodka stand at the curb, like, you know, take the place of your kid's lemonade stand and start selling alcohol.
This is true.
Yeah.
I mean, well, of course there's licenses and all that.
Fees. Come on.
No, but seriously, I mean, have you been to the places? Have you ordered drinks and had them to go? If you have, I want to hear about your visit, and I want to know how it worked. 330-595-1600. And incidentally, I want to thank those of you. Last week, we kind of did a survey on who's going to name the show and what were we going to name our show. So I want to jump that in there real quick too. Thank you for all the call-ins that we had last week, and thank you for all of the people chatting. And if there's something you want us to talk about on the show as well today, by all means, hit us up on this page, by all means. Or again, give us a call, 330-595-1600. And incidentally, talking about bars and about revenues and all that, did you hear about the New York City booze cruise that got shut down? Oh my goodness. Well, supposedly there was a booze cruise in New York City. There was probably, what this is saying, about 176 people on the booze cruise. They weren't practicing the social distancing at all.
C-R-U-I-S-E, not C-R-E-W-S, right? Cruise, as in
cruise,
boat.
Cruise, as in
oh,
boat.
Oh, boat. Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Yes, boat cruise. Okay, so they shut it down. It was an illegal party in New York City River Cruise. There was multiple violations, and it started to go into the violations, and you don't think about it, but there was a lack of social distancing provisions. That was first and foremost, okay? Then they said that there was also the compliance with, they violated alcohol sales laws, navigation law, which prohibits the discharge of petroleum, not in compliance with the conditions of federal or state permit. So can you imagine being shut down? I guess the captain was arrested by the sheriff's department. Wow. The people that owned the booze cruise was arrested. And I guess some of the people there, they weren't real happy with it. So it was more than 10 people by that, of course.
But... See, I have dreams sometimes about, like, when there was prohibition for alcohol, where they used to set up those speakeasies that were in the basement. And that those are the best movies to watch, to see how they were trying to outdo the law. This sort of reminds me, too, like, when we're seeing in the moment, like, how dare they break the laws? But we've been doing that for all of time. You make something illegal, and then somebody will set it up in their basement and figure out a way to skirt the law.
And they do.
They do. Sure do.
And that's the thing with, you know, I've talked about it with quite a few people on how they feel about the bars closing down at 10. Are you going to catch corona after 10 p.m.? Seriously?
Well, here's an interesting tidbit. You know, social media will make all of us medical experts. And so some of the things that people are, you know, like early on, they said that temperature was going to be a big corona killer, and it didn't end up happening. But ultraviolet light came out to be something that does kill it. So there's a little weight to this. So if you're outside in the air, in the sunlight, it has a harder time transmitting.
Correct.
The sun goes down. Right. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it is a little easier too, because the UV in the sunlight doesn't kill it off as easy. But it's indoors either way. So sun really didn't come into play anyhow.
Or heat. They were saying one summer, you know, when this first was coming around in March, if you remember way back, they're like, well, as soon as summer gets here, we're going to be okay. We weren't. I think it got worse. They started shutting everything down. They started shutting festivals down. They started shutting, of course, businesses were starting to work remotely. Not shutting down, but working remotely. And now it's a whole new way of life that a lot of people don't even want to go back to the office. And I think if you don't go back to the office and you don't have that interaction amongst employees, I think you lose a lot of that too.
Yeah.
I really do. I think you, I mean, let's face it, when you're at work, You're at work longer than you are at home. So you have your work family and you have your home family. Yep. And you're losing all of that contact, all of the friendliness, all of the work together, the team atmosphere. You're losing all of that just by working and singling yourself at home.
It's a lot, and you can't just easily fill that in by having a, you know, going out to a restaurant or hanging out at a park. But when people act out when they get into public places and see other people, and they do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. So it's weird.
Well, it is funny that, you know, once you get a little bit of alcohol or happy juice,
yep,
you've been inside the house or away from people for so long. I know you're a germaphobe. But when you see somebody you haven't seen in a while, 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to come up and hug you.
Yeah.
Somebody's right? going to come up and...
I hold my breath when that happens. Whenever anybody coughs or sneezes around me or comes too close into proximity, I think that if I hold my breath for about 30 seconds, that I'll avoid their germs coming in. So if you hug me too long, I'll probably pass
seconds?
Out. Yes.
Oh, my God. Might take a little bit longer to dissipate in the air.
Yes,
than 30
right.
seconds.
That's my theory.
Wow. That's okay, though, Joe. I'm sure there are other people like that that worry or concern. And, you know, we were even talking about handshaking. When you come up and you meet someone and you either, hey, how are you? You do a handshake or, you know, a pat on the back or something. I think everybody is now real leery of being in front of people, for one, but... You know, you're going to stand back. Does that offend people if you don't want to
right.
shake
I shook
hand?
A hand the other day, by the way. After we had talked the last time about this, somebody extended their hand. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm feeling a little bit saucy. And I shook the hand. And
I
was fine. I survived it. It's great.
Wow. Did you rip and wash it afterward?
I did.
How did I know that was going to happen? Yeah, but needless to say, I mean... Things are not the way they used to be. We're not going back to the past. We're setting a precedence for the future. We're setting workforces for the future. And it's still, there's more and more businesses that are unraveling, that are saying they're not going back. They're not having people come back until 2021, if ever. You know, they like this working remotely from home. So I think things as we know it are gone from the past. I mean, we're not probably going to go back to the large offices and the hustle and the bustle and all that. And they're saying that even with banks and things like that now, they're having people 2 days on, 3 days off type thing. So doing a lot of banking online. They're trying to get away from the cash so that you're not spending cash now. You've got your debit card. But then, and we're going to give Mo Ray some info.
Right.
That now is able to track you with your spendings and what you've got in your accounts and things. So this has taught us a lot. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, we live in a market like you. I'm sure you saw that McDonald's closing 200 stores.
Yes.
Dunkin' Donuts closing some stores. Some of our markets that were sort of in line where we were big enough of a market to offer those kind of services. The post-COVID are no longer a market that supports some of those franchises. We're going to see those guys bail because not only can they find employees to run it, they don't have the customers to be able to keep the stuff in business. So you're going to see a lot of these franchises really scale things down, especially in our area. We're going to, because there's just too many restaurants and not enough people willing to buy.
Have you noticed that if you do go out, say a Friday night, you want to take your wife out, okay? After 10 o'clock, it's like our sidewalks and streets roll up the sidewalks. People are not out. People are not...
I go to bed at 9 o'clock, so
okay,
I don't see...
Okay, then that would be you. But I'm just saying, on an average, throughout the day, yes, you start to see the people. And you can tell when some of the bands were being lifted around here, the more and more cars, and it's like, oh, it's taking me longer to get to...
Well, some of the things that you would do at night, you're just not allowed to do. You can't go see live... music. Mm-hmm. I mean, restaurants are, you know, I don't want to go willingly to do it too often, right? Maybe I've only been gone out to one restaurant since this stuff
really?
Happened. Yeah. I've done the rest Grubhub or picked it up, did curbside, but, you know, I won't expose myself to that if I needlessly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, what would you do? Where would you go at this point? All of the stuff that you would normally do is closed.
It's a very very scary time. In fact, I actually did a curbside pickup, and I was like, oh, thank God, because I had just come back from the barn where my horse was, so I had hair in the hay, and, you know, cleaning stalls, and it's like, I didn't even want to go inside. I didn't want to deal with people. She was so sweet. She came out, and I tipped her right at the curb. Now, that's an easy way to make, you know, bring your food out. You get tipped, and on you go. So, you know, that's not such a bad thing.
It's my favorite way to shop it.
I'm sure it really is. I'm sure it is. But that there too, you just opened up a whole new angle here. You can do curbside pickup when you do shopping. You don't have to go into the stores, and the stores aren't staying open late like they used to. Yeah. So some of the people that are in the workforce, they're getting off work at 5:30. And some of these stores are only staying open till 6. Sometimes I think Walmart's now only staying open till 8:30. I had heard. Is that true?
I've heard that too, but I have not been there since this. So I'm not.
So again, you're hurting employees. You're cutting back on time. Some of these stores that were open for 24 hours are no longer open.
Yeah.
Now, we look into this in a different angle, and I was telling you earlier that a lot of, from what the statistics are saying, no, this isn't coming from me, this was actually an article, they're saying that women are the ones that are losing the jobs more than men. Okay.
What do you think that is?
What's your
theory?
I think because men still, and please don't get mad at me for saying this, but I think men still are a primary breadwinner. For those that have the men, you know, the mutual men and women and the family setting, okay? So it's that they, and this is what they said, men are the primary breadwinners, women are the primary low-income workers. So I don't know. I mean, I know there's some women that that make more, so I don't know that I necessarily agree with all that.
Sure.
So I'm not putting that out there. So don't get mad at me for saying that. But this is just what this article said. Okay.
And I think women are more risk averse too. Whereas if you go out and it's deemed a risky endeavor to go grocery shopping, you're more likely to, you know, take somebody who's more apt to take on risk.
Yes.
The man in the family.
Well, it says during the pandemic, mothers have reduced their work hours 4 to 5 times more than the fathers to care for children. They created a strong caregiving foundation. So, you know, it's hard to get babysitters like the last that we talked about. So, the women are the ones that are giving up the hours.
They're better nurturers anyhow. So that would make total sense.
Unless, you know, you take off the movie of Mr. Mom, you know.
Right.
But I think there too, and like I said, this was just from insiders that when the economy crumbled, the women fell hard, and that's exactly what this stated in this article. Female unemployment reached double digits for the first time, it said, since 1948.
Wow.
So I'm speaking straight from this article, and this came from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They started tracking, you know, women losing their jobs and stuff, and you're talking like this article has mentioned, grocery store clerks, home health aides, social workers, they became essential workers this year. And they were, you know, they were faced with difficult decisions about either staying at home or preserving their job. Positions, though, are vanishing overnight. Housekeepers, retail clerks, those jobs may never come back. You never know. So, and like I said, I mean, it was a great article, and I just gave you the top, you know, the top segments of what I had seen. And of course, do I think that maybe some of the women, it's an actual job to take care of children.
Sure.
It truly is.
Right.
Then not only that, but if you are one of the moms that is staying home and is working from home, and we talked about this last segment, you now have to make sure that your children are being cared for, and your children are having the homeschooling and and trying to do it all. It's, you have to be Wonder Woman.
Heck yeah.
You
and,
really
and it's
do.
Gonna get harder too when, you know, traditional school goes back, and then, you know, juggling that and finding out what the best ratio is for you. Because half the people are not gonna be able to make that decision just because they have no daycare, no babysitters or whatever to take that off their hands.
And if you don't have a large family, or you don't have people that, you know, are willing to help you, it's hard. You know, say a woman that has 5 kids at home.
What are you going to do?
Bless
right.
her. You know what I mean?
I'm praying for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's, the struggle is real.
Yep. For sure.
So, again, if you have anything that you want to add to some of the things that we've just brought up, 330-595-1600, or something maybe you can add to, you can always go to the page and
ask your question there.
So, again, 330-595-1600. Now, your wife is a school teacher.
She is.
Okay. Does she notice things are different now? Does she do one of the podcasts where she's teaching kids from home? Or
they did a little bit of that remote stuff where they'd get a Google, I forget what it was, Google, I forget what it's called. But anyway, it's through Google. It's like Zoom where mm-hmm. they video with all their kids and they teach a lesson. And what she said was that when kids are in that setting, like there's not one of them that's not like bouncing around, showing off their pet turtle, and, mm-hmm. and very little learning was actually happening in that setting. Sure. It's kindergarten. So,
sure.
I mean, that's a difficult thing.
It is.
And, you know, I even picture when this goes back that it's even going to be harder because can you picture a kindergartner staying in one spot for an entire day doing learning? It's going to be the same thing. And they're at a disadvantage because they don't have their regular tools to, you know, to do it. So it's going to be interesting.
But not only that, add a mask on top of that. These kids are not going to want these masks on their faces either.
No, not at all.
So, you know, I know that there's constantly schools that are meeting on the protocol of when they're going to be opening up the doors again and how they're going to be doing the masks and how they're going to be sanitizing, you know, the buildings. But when it gets down to it, I think a lot of parents... And they're making it, they're keeping it kind of opened where the last one that I had read, if you're going to keep your child home, you have to do it for 3 months. You have to, you know, be on board
to, yeah.
to commit to it for 3 months.
Right, because they've got that cost of having a teacher in ratio with those students. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, if you have to make sure that your family is in tune with this, you're in tune with this, with your work schedule, the husband's work schedule, or, you know, the whoever comes over and takes care of the kids as the parents are, you know, they have to make sure that that person is on board as well for 3 months.
So then, what do they do if a kid in a class comes down with it? What do they do with that whole class? Does everybody go to quarantine after one kid gets it?
You would probably have to. I mean, it would be
so. It's just a matter of time
day thing
for every classroom just to have an outage for 2 weeks where everybody just has to go home and not come back. This is going to be chaos.
And for kids, there's different showings of COVID than there is for adults. It's totally different. Kids don't get the flu symptoms. They're saying now that if you and an adult could get this, this is one of the signs of COVID. Not only is it the smell that you lose your smell, but they're also saying that rashes. So if you're starting to get rashes in between your fingers, or if you're getting rashes on your arms, could be a sign of COVID. And a lot of kids, that's how it's showing up on the children with rashes is what,
wow.
what an article that I read. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's so many different things that could lead up to COVID.
Think about it. So you make the decision that you're going to go back to work, the kid's going to go back to school, and like a week into it, someone comes down with this, so they just disperse everybody from school, and now your kid comes back home, but you're at work now. Think of the chaos that's going to come just of that. Oh my, I don't want to picture this.
Not only that, though, so you come in contact. They will contact every person that person has been in contact with. So then that person has to quarantine, and that person, you go to a grocery store, you're at the checkout aisle. Who is the people behind you? You don't know who's the people. You know what I mean? Who's the cashier that's in front of you? Now you just, even though you've got the mask on, and you're in the store, and maybe you're doing the debit card thing, you've just been around all these different people, and it grows legs. Everybody, you know, is now possibly.
It's causing anxiety. Can we talk about something?
I can tell. But again, they're saying by fall that we should be clear of this. But then comes influenza. And wasn't COVID starting out like influenza? And they're saying that long before this finally came to a head, that clear back prior in 2019, if you felt like you were just hit by a bus in 2019, like around November, December, you probably had it way before this came out. Do you remember being sick?
Oh, I do. sicker than I've ever been before.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. See, oh, I haven't missed work in like 20 years, right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I missed 2 days with a high fever, 2 days sick back to back.
And now I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but buildings now, before you can even go into them, you have to stand like by the wall or stand wherever they have this little podium, and it takes your temperature. And if you have a temperature, you can't go in the building. Oh yeah, that's the latest and greatest. In fact, I know that to be true, for a friend of mine works in a building that they can't let people in or out, and the employees, before they can report to work, have to get their temperatures taken before they can report to work.
So last month, we were out on a boat on the lake in the sun, and we pulled up to a pier, and we were going to eat dinner. And we got off on the pier, we're walking in there, and the seating host has came out with a little temperature gun. And everybody that's been on the boat has been in the sun all day. So obviously we registered as being, and they wouldn't serve us because our temperature was whatever. So we had to sit, wait till our temperatures came down, gunned us again, and then we could go eat.
You don't think about stuff like that.
Right.
You don't think about stuff like that. Even eating outside, and there, another article I came across where more and more restaurants are trying to do more of their seating outside, which is smart.
Right.
You take up a portion of your parking lot that you didn't necessarily use a lot of parking over in that area, or it was just dead space, and put up an outdoor patio. Smart thinking.
That's right. And the tent rental business went off the hook this spring here.
Oh, I bet it did.
Yeah.
But again, we're not doing any outdoor concerts. We're not doing any, you know, nothing's coming around. No amphitheaters or having any, you know, buddy playing out. We can't. Dang. Unless they want 10 people there.
Right. And so what you said, like with these restaurants being at, you know, a disadvantage at this point with the limited, you know, drinking hours and whatnot. Do you think they're going to even tighten that further? Because they were the first to go down the last time around.
I know. It's unfair. I truly believe that. And, you know, Dwayne says that they don't want to put bars and restaurants out of business. But that's what's going to be boiling down.
Yeah, this is shut down light is what all this is.
Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but some of the restaurants, to recoup some of their loss from 10 o'clock until midnight, because that's prime time for COVID, you know, it's past
the law. Of course, yeah. He gets invited around that time.
Yeah, he comes on in. But I think that a lot of these restaurants are now doing things that they didn't in the past, maybe opening up early, having earlier lunches, doing breakfast. They've got to recoup their losses somehow. Yeah.
They can convince everybody to wake up earlier than 9 o'clock is the old midnight, right?
Right.
So wake up with me at 4:30, and then you can pretend all day. You can move your lunch up to 9 o'clock. You can move your dinner up to 2 o'clock. And then by the time we hit 9:30, it's the same thing. It's just light outside.
Have you noticed that your schedule at home has changed?
It has.
That you're going to bed earlier and getting up earlier?
There's just nowhere to go. So you get your stuff done a lot earlier, and by that you're ready to, you know, be done by a certain point. I could just picture all the money that I'm saving by not, like, window shopping or walking down the aisles of stores. I'm spending a ton less money now.
I don't know. Amazon is, like, my best friend. And it's so funny because I'll be driving down the road, and, oh, there's my Amazon guy. You know, or there's my UPS guy. And I feel bad, but it's like, oh, stopping at the house, are you? You know.
So if you check your porch one day and you still don't see any packages, do you feel a little neglected?
I do.
A little feelings hurt?
I do.
Yeah.
And then I love it when I order something and I'm like, wait a minute, what did I order? What's coming? And then when you open it up, it's like,
it's like, oh, Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I've been looking for that. So I do enjoy Amazon. How many of you women out there don't enjoy Amazon? Oh, Trina Williams, good afternoon to you both. Thanks, Trina. Good afternoon to you, too. Something on your mind, Trina? Of course, give us a call, 330-595-1600. We've talked so many topics today. I want to know if there is a bartender or a server out there that has had their wages reduced, and how you're doing it. How are you getting by? Of course, you know, there's unemployment, of course, but has your job or has your restaurant or your wherever you work at, have they made made different provisions for you to try to recoup some of the money that you have lost? Have they been?
Or the other way, if you've made more tips, because we have a tendency to be more generous one time. So maybe people are tipping at a higher level than before. So let us know.
Yes, 330-595-1600. So I think a lot of these restaurants, and they'll agree with us too, they're feeling scorched.
So what can we do to help? Like if you're just listening to this and you want to help a restauranteur, you know, eating at a big chain versus having someone local, you know, how would you recommend that consumers change habits a little bit to help people who own businesses?
Besides wearing fishing or swimming goggles.
Yes. Besides that.
I think we could probably, Trina, I love Amazon. I think that we could probably learn from the one restaurant in Akron. Did you see where they put up the clear shower curtains?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. It's ingenious. It's absolutely ingenious. But what they did was they put up rods in between the tables. So if there's a table of four, a table of six against the wall, there's a rod that comes out of the wall, and there is a clear plastic shower curtain so that when they're bringing these people, it sections them off. Now, it doesn't make them feel like they're in a hospital zone because it's clear plastic.
You're in the shower in the restaurant.
But you're in the shower in the restaurant.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they're trying, and kudos to these different businesses for trying. It's a very hard time right now. And you got to think, too, some of these people, they ran out of that $600 stimulus check. We're supposed to be getting another one for $1,200. We don't exactly know when that's going to be coming, but they're putting a cutoff on this now. So if you make $40,000 or below, you're more apt to get that stimulus than that $1,200. And, you know, people were saying, why is everybody crying? You were getting that extra $600 and you're not working, and now that you're not getting it. But that was also to help grow the economy a little bit. To that money that you were getting was supposed to be going out there and getting groceries and buying things in stores just to keep the economy moving a little bit. So, I mean, that's kind of a double-edged sword too. People are really upset. You know, some people say, well, I was never affected. I still went to work every single day. They didn't bonus me any money for being still at work. And I understand that and I get that. But then, like, on the flip side, if you're one that did lose their job out of it, now you don't have a job to go to. That $600 has stopped. So, you know, you kind of got to be open-minded to both sides.
Right.
You know.
You want to do a controversial thing?
Oh, boy.
Want to do that?
This is my second show. And he wants me to do controversy. Oh, don't hate me, please.
All right. So, Peaberry's, the coffee shop. There was an article posted this morning about a group of anti-maskers came into Peaberry's. And they caused a lot of ruckus about Peaberry's then having to instruct these people who did not want to wear masks to wear masks. And they caused some confrontation between business owner and customer. And they got so frazzled, they shut down for the day and just went home. Because it's one thing to be good at serving coffee and taking mm-hmm. care of customers, but mm-hmm. when now you're the arbiter, you're the person that has to be mean to a customer, it's an unfair position to ask businesses to be bad guy. I mean, I know it's a responsibility to keep people safe, mm-hmm. but to, you know, take somebody and throw them out of your establishment is just an unfair proposition to a business owner.
It is. And like you said, how do you combat that? You know what I mean? And then how do you come back after that? And looking at some of Sarah, she says they closed Monday. So, I mean, are they back open again, though? Or did they open?
I don't know. Again? I just saw they closed down for the day. I don't know if they ended up opening again. Hopefully mm-hmm. they did. But, again, once it gets like to be hot button, now you got both sides that are warring over it. Now it becomes a, you know, something that's more than it otherwise would have been.
I think people are upset about wearing the mask, and I get that, because it's your choice. You should do what you want. But in the same token, too, you are kind of keeping your germs back from somebody else. So I do understand that. And this was only supposed to be, like I said prior, 4 to 6 weeks. So we're coming close. I think we're, what, into our third week with the, you know, the mask yep. that DeWine's making right. us. So if we can get through this maybe 3 more weeks, judge where this at, Last week we were at 1,700 new cases here. Now we've dropped down to 400. So something we're doing is working. You know, something that we're doing, and give DeWine credit for that, for sure, doing that, right. You know. But again, this is my common phrase, how much more can we take here?
Yeah. It's not getting better because it's getting more polarized, and you have people that are warring. And otherwise, like I said, those people would have no problem with pea berries had it not been for this thing. And you know, that's a tough spot to be in when you are the one that has to kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone to a couple places where I didn't have my mask with me. I totally forgot it. And I'm wandering in there. And I know that, you know, everybody's looking at me. There's a guy, only guy that without a mask there. And I was asked to leave. And I was not happy about being asked to leave.
Really?
And so, you know, I've been on both sides of this where, you know, I'm a germaphobe, so I know how to behave as a not getting germs or giving germs. I'm really cognizant of that. But just because it got to be so dogmatic where, you know, it's not noble to wear or not wear a mask. It's a consideration thing.
Absolutely.
More than anything. But if you're not doing it, it's like you're the big lawbreaker. Yeah, I did not envy that position. And, you know, I've worn the mask ever since because I don't want to be put in that position anymore. Because I think somebody had to yell at me to say,
absolutely,
hey, you got to get out of here. And under my breath, I was like, F you. And, you know, I ended up leaving, you know, in the moment. But I hate the fact that they're put in that position to begin with.
And it is uncomfortable for everybody around you.
Yeah, for sure.
Not only is it uncomfortable for you, but then the people that you're with or the people that are next to you going, did you hear what they did to that guy?
Yeah, right.
You know?
I got to be the a-hole for a minute.
And that never happens. So we need to mark that down. Just like Sir Joe getting frazzled. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No.
But, you know,
I'm giver of the frazzle. I don't
giver
get frazzled.
Giver of the frazzle. Yes. Giver of the frazzle. But, you know, Sarah, you have a very valid point there. You lost business as a home cleaner because you asked your clients to wear masks if we clean their homes while they were home. You don't think about that. A lot of people, you're in my home. I clean, I sanitize, I do this. How dare you come into my house, clean my house, and you expect me to wear a mask? So I could see, Sarah, why, you know, and that would be frustrating. You've just lost loss of income.
Exactly.
Due to a mask or non-wearing of a mask. So, and then do people boycott the stores because they don't want to wear a mask? I remember when this first was coming out, and this was before it was very important and something that DeWine wanted us to do, wearing that mask. Menards was the first one that said, you can't come into this store without having a mask on. Remember the backlash they got for that?
Heck yeah. Right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, they're looking out for the customers.
Right.
And then they were only letting like a certain amount in. And then there was a line in the parking lot. So when a certain amount came out, you felt like you were in a bar going in, going out.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was a maximum allowance that was allowed to be in there. So I understand and I get it. A lot of people still say, well, it's my constitutional right. If I don't want to have to wear it, I shouldn't have to. Yes, I get that. But just do it for the next 3 weeks and
Can I share another a-hole moment for Joe? Because this is
I'm just blown away with your a-hole moments. They're good.
So the second one, and it's only happened to me twice, but I was an a-hole in both of them.
Wow.
So,
mark this down, guys. Mark it down.
So I put a to-go order in, like a curbside pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove to the place to pick up my food. And usually they bring it over to the window. And this one required you to actually walk up to like a little kiosk to be able to pick up. Mm-hmm. Now, not only did I forgot my mask. I didn't have a mask. And so I'm like, I am all the way here. And I'm going to have to run home and get my freaking mask. I was so pissed off because whatever. But anyway, I knew that I had to like sneak in here and say, I don't have a mask. I don't, you know, and talk to the floor and that kind of thing. And fortunately, they didn't, you know, mess with me over not having it. They allowed me to pick up my food because, man, I was so not looking forward to running all the way home. Because they could have very easily said, go home, whatever.
Right.
But I tipped them a little extra couple dollars because they didn't harass me over. But again, I was a contributor to the wrong side of this equation. But that was a practical thing. I wasn't being a jerk about it. I just happened to travel 20 minutes to a restaurant and had to travel 20 minutes back. And I was not, you know, looking forward to that. But yeah, anyway, a-hole number two.
Well, do you have pets at home?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. I have a cat that, you know, she's needing to get like a steroid every 30 days. So I call the vet up and I make the appointment. She's like, you know, when you get into our parking lot, call us, let us know that you're here. We'll run out. We'll get your animal. We'll bring it in, take care of it. So you're like, okay. and this is to a flip side too, because this is not sad for me, but I know something that this has happened to, where somebody had to bring their animal in. They had to call the vet, let them know they're in the parking lot. That, you know, they took the animal in, and of course, the animal had to be put down. The people couldn't come in to, you know, be with the pet while they had to put it down. I mean, it's just so sad that this is just pulling us apart. You know, how sad would that be you know you have to put your animal down
and you got to do it from the parking lot.
And you have to do it from the parking lot, or they had to do it and, you know, then they come out and say, oh, she went peacefully or he went peacefully or no problems. And you're just beside yourself because you're like, I should have been with that animal. You know, that was my life. And I get that because I'm a big animal person. But you have to wear a mask, and now they're letting you come in. But there's a questionnaire that they ask you 10 questions deep before you can make entrance into the veterinarian clinic. And, you know, have you ever been outside of the U.S. or have you traveled? And it's like, well, I live in Trumbull County and I drive to Mahoning County a couple of days. Does that count for travel? She's like, no. So, you know, you tell them, hey, I went from county to county and did this. And they'll start laughing. You know, you make it a fun twist on it. But have you been in contact with somebody that has COVID, or have you had COVID, or, you know, are you on quarantine for 14 days? Are you feeling sick right now? And you're like, no, but the cat is. Can you just take the cat?
Right,
just get the cat in there. She's wheezing. Just take her. So, but yeah, I mean, this just, you need a health card. We talked about this. Here's my card. Here's the latest and greatest, or at least scan it with a scan code and have it pop up on a machine. Yep, you're good. Temperature's good. This is good. That's good.
Have you been tested yet, by the way?
No.
All right. So this is my big fear with the whole testing things. So they set up these big, like, mechanisms in a parking lot where there's tents and there's people and there's swabs, and they take the cars through there and they do their swabbing and they have you fill out paperwork, and the whole thing is mm-hmm. pretty well orchestrated, right? My fear is, though, that if we're dealing with a communicable disease, and the people that show up are likely either think they might be sick or are sick completely, mm-hmm. there is no way to sterilize that mass procedure of the testing. So my fear is that half the people that showed up at those things mm-hmm. are getting their exposure from being tested. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we watched them, and they try to, you know, clean their gloves and whatever, and they try to wear masks, but it's not happening the way that you think it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, if you're sicker, you pose a bigger exposure risk anyhow. So, again, we're doing all the wrong things, I think of. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, could help us out. We're doing all the wrong ones.
Now, have you been in a grocery store where you have seen someone wearing gloves,
yes.
vinyl gloves, with
yes.
their
touching with, everything?
Yes. They say that the gloves help spread this. So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, great intentions, but we're doing exactly the things that would help cause this spread, and mm-hmm. not really protecting anybody. But, you know, again, those things become more dogma than actual science. And, you know, then man, people get up hurt, end up being hurt unintentionally.
Now, here's something else that you don't think about. But when you're checking out and you've got your debit card, if you're not paying cash, and money is paper, which spreads disease. Money is one of the most disgusting things.
Disgusting.
You don't even want to know what lives on money, okay? Or where people even keep money.
I heard you get free cocaine for money, though. That's a tidbit.
I don't know about that. But some of the places where people keep money on their body, even, is just, it's gross.
Don't even, no.
So putting the money aside, okay? You got your debit card, and you're putting the debit card into the machine, and now you're punching your code in. That's filthy, too. You don't see people spraying that down either.
No.
And you don't, if you're not wearing gloves, okay, but you're still spreading that. And then I was told, and I don't know how true this is, and because you love science and all that, maybe you can,
sure.
And this was supposedly on the news as well.
Okay.
But you're not supposed to keep hand sanitizer in the car, because if it gets warm, it can... Is that true? It can, like, explode or not? Have you heard that?
No, I think it can evaporate. I don't necessarily think it becomes unstable or it changes form. I think they said 70% alcohol is the best to kill it. Higher, lower isn't as good, but 70% is your target. Random fact.
So grab, like, Jack Daniels.
No, I'm not going to do it. Well, you could. It changed the dynamics of your evening.
Only before 10 o'clock.
Yeah, right. But that doesn't change. I mean, you can buy your own alcohol and go get lit in your backyard. Mm-hmm. So just go to your local, you know, alcohol dealer, and you can have drinks anytime you feel like.
Yeah.
I drink alone.
I drink alone. Everybody should drink alone unless you wear your goggles.
That's right. Your goggles.
Yeah, I can't see people going out in public now wearing goggles. I think, when is enough enough? It's truly.
But every you know, outward facing membrane can absorb this thing. So it's your eyes or inside of your nose, your ears, or, you know, touch of your mouth. It's just all gross. People are gross. Mm-hmm. What they share is gross. This whole thing's gross.
Yeah. And seriously, if you've got the antibacterial wipes, or if you've got, you know, after you've touched something, or you know, even your own, and it's not a bad idea to wipe down your purse. You don't know where you're putting your purse on a counter. Wipe down underneath it. Wipe down if you've pulled your wallet out and stuck it on the counter. Oh, you need my driver's license, you need my credit card, this, that. Wipe everything down, because, again, you don't know what you're taking back to the house, you take it back to your car. It's just
my son made a kill box, and I know that's it. Let me tell you what a kill box is. Sounds great, doesn't it?
It does.
So it's basically a cube, right? Mm-hmm. And there's ultraviolet lights that are at different angles in the kill box. And before you bring something in your house, you put it inside the kill box, and the UV light kills all organic matter, like anything that's bacteria, anything that's virus. But you got to put it in there for like a couple minutes, or, you know, 30 seconds to a minute in order for that to die.
Oh,
but
boy.
Just think, if you treat it like your Amazon packages, like,
yeah,
you don't know what those things go through before they get to your door.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put them in Joe's kill box, everything that was on top of it, you know, that stuff gets killed.
That's not a bad idea. It's probably another business you'll be getting.
That's it. Great. Coming soon.
Coming soon. A kill box near you.
I might need to think of a different name, because that sounds a little nefarious. But
yeah, well, hey, if it works.
That's right.
It does away with anything we don't want hanging around or lurking.
Do you sanitize your hands a lot?
I do. Only because when it comes to even touching gas nozzles, or say you go to the bank and you're pulling out, you know, the container for the bank, that's another thing. There's so many germs on that bank. What do they call that? A pass-through container, or whatever you...
A puck. I'm going to call it a puck.
Puck, yeah. But there's so many germs on that as well. You just don't realize when you're coming into contact with all these different things we're taking for granted, you know. And again, compromising an immune system using all of these hand sanitizers. And you just can't be too careful now.
So when schools open,
mm-hmm,
and every material, every surface, every square inch of that classroom has to be cleaned every cycle, every day.
Every cycle, yeah.
Like, if there's a square inch, somebody's now responsible for mass sanitization.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine how much money they're going to spend just on that process.
Right, right. Or the amount of people they're going to need for that. Because let's face it, they're having more classrooms because they're having smaller amounts of children in there. So, you know, a classroom when it used to be, say, 20 kids, now they're cutting them down to 12, or they're cutting them down to 8. So they're opening up more rooms that weren't necessarily a classroom before, but you're still going to need bodies for those extra rooms.
So, Sarah, for your cleaning stuff, how long would you say it would take one person to clean an entire classroom? Think of your traditional kindergarten, first grade classroom. How long would it take one person to sanitize every surface in that area? So hopefully she can answer that, because if you take 20 classrooms,
mm-hmm,
how much staff are going to have to go through there every stinking day of the year? Oh, that's crazy to even think about.
Well, keep in mind that they're only there until June, so...
Oh, man.
They got the summers off. But still, no, you are right. I mean, the amount of bodies in a building that are going to have to be wearing
masks. Do you remember?
As well.
Okay, so this is like thinking about science fiction movies. Do you remember, like, every science fiction movie that was in the future, everything was white and there were minimalists where there wasn't lots of stuff? It was like empty rooms, bright lights, and whatever. Do you, mm-hmm, think in science fiction movies knew that there was going to be so much COVID that we couldn't have things with lots of furniture in them because there was so much surface area to clean? I think they knew.
It's funny, though. Have you watched a scientific movie, and some of the stuff that people thought were so far-fetched
is
actually now happening?
Right.
So you kind of got to wonder, Maybe they did know what was going on, or maybe they're taking this from a movie and just calling it that.
They keep referring this as something that was inevitable anyway. So the people who thought long-term, big, massive stuff knew like what we would do when that happens. What did they picture it going down like it is going down right now?
Well, I still think we haven't seen anything yet. I still think there's something more to come, especially during the fall. Are they going to come up with COVID 2020 now? You know what I mean? Or COVID 20? We've already had the COVID 19. We've already had another thing of COVID that they called it. It was an influenza. And I'm trying to think of the exact name because somebody's going to say, well, no, it was this. You know, I want to get my facts right. But there was another form of this a while back. So when this came around, it didn't surprise scientists.
No.
It didn't surprise doctors around here.
Right.
This has been around before, just not to the extreme that we're at now. So
this has been like the Ray of Sunshine show where we...
I know. I feel like we should be singing Kumbaya.
Yeah, let's talk about something to close out the show that will make people
I know,
happy.
Maybe like next week or maybe Thursday we'll only talk about COVID once on the show. I mean,
let's make a rule. How many times you're allowed to invoke COVID during a program?
Well, I think with COVID, it's something we're all facing. And that cliche, we're all in this together. But in some way, this has impacted our lives. No matter what, maybe some people, again, they have not stopped working. But still, the people around you, it has impacted you somehow. Things are a little bit different no matter what it is. You get up, you go to work the same day you come home. You got to go get gas in your car to get to work. Are you going to be wiping down your hands, thinking somebody, you know, with COVID, even though it hasn't affected you, still, it's a way of life now that you've got to concern yourself with protecting yourself against. So, it's not going to change. This isn't just going to go away by fall. I guarantee it. It's not going to go away by the elections. There's still going to be something else that comes out. It'll be bad influenza. Could it be COVID or could it be influenza or could it be, you know, the birdcage flu now? Who knows?
That's horrible.
Who knows? I got you on that one.
Predicting.
You're like, wow.
See?
Yeah, but I mean, the way of life, like we said before, as we know it, has changed.
Different.
Even the way that we go eat in restaurants now and the way that we go on booze cruises now, or, you know, it's sad. It's really sad. But I just, like we said earlier, I can't imagine people coming up to you wearing goggles and and a mask. And, hey, what do you have? What are you going to drink? It's like, you know, I don't know.
All right. Well, good show. Break it down for us.
Okay, so next week, what your homework is for next week, kids, we always ask, like at the end of the show, if there's something that you guys would like us to do more in-depth looking into, or more in-depth visionaries things, we'll go out and we'll take a look. So write in the comments what you would like us to talk about on the next show. Hopefully it won't be so much COVID. it'll be something good. But if there's something you want to talk about, let us know. Or you can private message us, or you can even call us 330-595-1600. We've got about 5 minutes before we can wrap this up.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, I want to thank everybody. You know, Sarah, you were giving a lot of great ideas and a lot of great things that are even happening to you. And, you know, something that is affecting you with COVID that you want to end wrap up the show with, of course, you know, again, give us a buzz, 330-595-1600, or put it down in the comments below. And again, we want to thank people. We asked last week, what could we name the show? We did not have a name for this show, so we're going to call it Let's Talk with Justine Thomas. So
it's awesome. Good pick.
Yay.
I like it.
Yay. So we'll be here same bat time, same bat place.
All right, have a good one.
All right.